we just sang that great hymn, He is risen, He is risen. Death is conquered, we are free, Christ has won the victory. It's one of these themes running through the New Testament, referring to Christ's resurrection. Not that it wasn't just limited to him, because in order to rise from the dead, Jesus had to conquer the realm of death itself. And just to make things as clear as I can, you can think in terms of a lot of the New Testament was written coming out of a Hebrew culture, but the gospel spread to a Greek culture. And how did they understand death? Well, they had a place called Hades. Knowing people would go to Hades after they died. Actually, in the Old Testament, there was a similar concept called Sheol. And it was never this pleasant place. It was just kind of dingy and blah and just nothing. It was a sense of nothingness. The idea in death is that that is a state of non-being, where God, being the source of being, God, the source of life, was able to overcome it, but only from the inside. So that's why Jesus, as God and human, needed to die, so we have this place to enter, this way to enter the realm of death and bust it open. And in busting it open, he was able to rise from the dead, and many other people rose from the dead with him, that death itself was conquered. And if you think about it, hell itself is going to lose its power when death has been conquered. You know, without death, how are people supposed to get into hell? Well, they can't. So the first enemy, and actually the last enemy, as the New Testament describes it, to be overcome is death. But there's also more. Because of this mystery, because of this miraculous joining in Jesus Christ of humanity and divinity, that we get to share in his attributes. We are united to him in this resurrection. We're united to him in his death and in his resurrection, so that we get to share in his divine attributes as well, just because of that unity. But it starts only when Jesus has broken death apart from the beginning. The gospel lesson we read today was from the Gospel of John, and Mary Magdalene showed up. And she went to the tomb to see, perhaps to pray, perhaps for the same reason why many of us would go to a loved one's grave, perhaps just to remember them and to grieve. And she found something curious. She found that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Now, there's a couple details in here and other details within the gospel that show us that Jesus was completely dead. We know he was placed in the tomb and the stone was put in front. We know that he was pierced in the side with a spear and blood and water came out. And that's because when you die, your blood will actually separate into water and the blood cells and everything else. And when the two came out, they knew that he was really dead. And that's important because there are some who kind of among very secular scholarships that might suggest that he was just mostly dead. If anybody remembers that movie. But no, he was truly dead. You think again of the place of the dead, whether you want to call it Hades, Sheol, or even hell. It was a one-way trip. People would get in, but people would not be able to get back out. It's just a one way. And yet, when Christ entered death, death found something else. Death found it was trying to swallow a human being, but encountered God itself. And the two could not coexist because God is the source of life and being. And so in the realm of death, that light and life overcame it. An ancient teacher of the church, St. Athanasius, wrote that death has been dissolved. It had dissolved itself. Another one, this is Gregory of Nyssa. He wrote that the opposing power, meaning the realm of death, could not by its very nature endure the unveiled sight of it. So when Jesus was in there, his divinity, the fact that he was both human and both God, his divinity shined forth, dissolving in the very place that held people captive when they died. Doing so broke death open, and the resurrection began. And he was the first. But he wasn't just the first. Many people were raised with him. The Gospel of Matthew records that many bodies of saints were raised at the same time, and that after Jesus' resurrection, they appeared to many. The very prison of death was broken open, and people could come forth. Later on today, I'm going to be spending the afternoon and evening with my in-laws who live on Fort Monroe. And my son likes to go to the interior part of Fort Monroe, the original base that was built by Robert E. Lee when he was a young lieutenant just out of West Point. And one of the features that always captures my attention is when you first cross the bridge to go in and going into the interior of the fort, there's some small places. I say small, they're about 10 feet by 12 feet wide, maybe 12 feet by 12 feet wide, 12 feet wide by 12 feet long. So pretty tight space, about the size of my office. And there's a plaque there that says during the Civil War that prisoners were placed there, and anywhere from 20 to 30 people would be housed in this little space. And I think of my own office, which is about the same size if you look at it at the end of the church. And I can't stand to have about 5 people in there. It starts getting really crowded. So if you can imagine having 20 to 30 people in that small space, sure, the realm of death felt equally cramped with all those who had died in there. But here's the other thing. When something is that full, when it's that dense, if you're going to break one person out, you're going to break everybody out. All the saints were escaping. And not even the saints, just all those who had fallen asleep, all those who had been suffering to death. Many years ago, during an ecumenical event, I went and visited the Greek Orthodox Church, St. Nicholas, which is down on the way to the hospital. And I remember seeing an icon in their sanctuary, Christ emerging from the realm of death. And he had held out his hands on either side, holding on one hand Adam and the other hand Eve, bringing them both out with him. Everyone was escaping. St. John Chrysostom, another great teacher of the church, described it this way. And I warn you, this illustration is a little bit. But what he said was death was like this great dragon. And the dragon ingested God, ingested Christ, thinking it was ingesting, it was consuming a human being, but discovered God himself, the very thing that the dragon could not digest. And being that he could not digest it, this dragon started experiencing horrible stomach pains and writhed in agony, and his only recourse was to vomit up the entire contents, so everything death had consumed. So you can imagine St. John Chrysostom giving this sermon, and all of a sudden the young boys in the congregation started looking up and really paying attention. Ooh, dragons! Boy, this is interesting. But through Christ's resurrection, the point is that the rest of the dead came with him. But Jesus was not content, and God was not content merely to set us free. There was a surplus involved as well. There is a surplus that unites people, not just to one another, but to God himself. Because of this dual nature of Christ being fully human and fully God, there's kind of a double sharing that takes place. On the one hand, God, in becoming Christ, he shares our human attributes with himself. He borrows that from us. Not just borrow, but assume those human attributes. And in the process, shares his divine attributes with human beings. So there's a double sharing going back and forth. When Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene and he gave her the message to go back to the disciples, he said, go back to, here's an interesting detail, go back to my brothers. They're united to each other. He said, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. There's something that took place here that this is the first time this language was used in all the New Testament. At the resurrection, he said, referred to his disciples as brothers, and he said, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The divine attributes of the sonship of Jesus Christ as God the Son, Son of the Father, is now shared with human beings. Another illustration from St. John Chrysostom, and this one isn't quite so hick. This one's actually very nice. He described it like this. He said it was as if a man owes 10 coins, and he wasn't able to pay his debt, so he was thrown into prison. And a kind stranger came by and repaid that debt. But not only paid the debt to get him out of prison, he gave him 10,000 talents of gold, which was a massive sum of money. And not only that, he brought this man to the king's palace and gave him a place of honor. So there is this huge surplus of grace that we receive as a result of the resurrection. Because Christ was united to us, body, mind, spirit, because he was united to us in baptism, in death, and resurrection, that we get to share so much. We get to share his divine sonship. It's often said that people who experience or have intense experiences together, that experience unites them. No, this is often true with people who have served in the military, particularly those who have experienced combat together. There is a brotherhood, there is a bond that develops between them. How great of a bond is developed when Jesus is the one who joins us in our plight of death. Not only joins us there, but breaks us out. Death no longer has the final say. And in breaking us out, that bond that is developed brings us to God. So this great miracle that we celebrate on Easter, this great resurrection, has not only personal implications, but it has these cosmic implications as well. By entering into death, Christ was able to break open the realm of death. And in doing so, he set the people free. Christ set us free. And because sharing our plight, we are united to him. He united himself to us, which gives us all the benefits of sonship. As he said to his disciples, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So yes, death is conquered, we are free. Christ is one.